Our scripture reading this morning comes from two places. The first place will be Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And the second place will be from Ephesians chapter 6. But first we will read Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, as the Lord gives the fifth commandment to his people at Mount Sinai. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then let us read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the scriptures. In our study of the Ten Commandments, we have been looking at each commandment from the context of the indicative and the imperative. The indicative means that we have looked at each commandment in light of who we are in Christ. God is appearing before his people at Mount Sinai, and they appear as people that he has saved before his face. And the imperative means that we are looking at who they are before God and who we are before God, and we're saying, what now must we do? What has God commanded? What is the imperative of this command that we who have been saved by Jesus Christ, what is it that we should do? And so once again this morning, we are going to begin by looking at the imperative and the indicative, and the imperative will flow out of the indicative. The children of Israel are standing before Mount Sinai. They have been delivered by God from the land of Israel. And as they stand there, God is giving them these Ten Commandments as they stand before his face. And as they receive this fifth commandment, God is laying down something for them, for their society, and for their own life before God. He is establishing the principle of authority. They are to honor their fathers and their mothers. The Westminster Catechism, the larger catechism, question and answer 124, helps us see, however, that when God establishes here at Mount Sinai that they must honor their father and their mother, God means more than just simply a family relationship. Question and answer 124 tells us, who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? By father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, especially such as, by God's ordinance, are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. The Catechism helps us see that when God declares to his people at Mount Sinai that they must honor their father and their mother, he means much more than just simply the family relationship, but he means all superiors must be honored in age and in their gifts. God also means that those in authority over his people, whether that be in the family, whether that be in the church, whether that be in the commonwealth, must also be honored. In keeping this commandment, honor must be given within all family relationships, wives to husbands, Older siblings given honor to their parents, younger siblings honor to their older siblings and to their parents. Honor must be given to those given authority by God over them within the church. Those church leaders that the Israelites had, those church leaders that we have, must be honored. And honor must be given to the civil authorities that Israel had, that we had, and the place in which we live. Honor must be given to your boss, to those with authority over you. They must be honored in the context of this commandment. But if this is the case, why did God not say in this commandment, honor your father, your mother, all your family relationships, your church leaders, and your commonwealth? Why did God stop by saying simply, honor your father and your mother, and have that embrace the whole context of authority? Well, there's two reasons, I believe, for this. The first reason is because when God establishes within the home honor for mother and father, God is teaching the children for future generations and for their future life what it means to know and submit to authority. The first people that a child has to honor is their parents. They honor the parents that God has given them. They honor with their obedience, with how they see them respectfully, with how they look at them. And so often it is the case that when a child leaves the home, if they show dishonor to others, for example, their church leaders, the policeman who stops them, and other civil leaders, they have not learned honor in the home. The way they treat those other authorities in their lives so often is the way that they treated their parents. God establishes this fifth commandment, first of all, for father and mother, so that people will learn in the context of their home what it means to honor authority, what it means to be obedient to authority, what it means to live under the authority that God has put in their lives. And so that's one reason why God has said only, honor your father and your mother. But the Westminster Catechism does give us another reason. In the larger catechism, question and answer 125, it tells us this. Why are superiors styled father and mother? Superiors are styled father and mother, both to teach them in all their duties toward their inferiors, like natural parents, to express love and tenderness to them according to their several relations, and to work inferiors to a greater willingness and cheerfulness in performing their duties to their superiors as to their parents. A second reason why God has established this commandment to honor father and mother and has stopped there as he has proclaimed it is so that all relationships in which authority is given and those live under that authority, that is to be modeled after the parent and the child relationship. In other words, fathers and mothers, when they are raising their children, they are showing love and tenderness to them in the Lord. They are working with them to help them know and do what is best. They have a desire to help and to encourage them in their life. Well, such is the case with other authorities. The elders of the church need to minister within the congregation in the context of love and tenderness to their flock. The civil leaders who rule over you should demonstrate love and tenderness to the people that they rule over. The elders of the church would do only what is best for those within their flock. They do not seek to destroy them or to do things which would harm them. Such is the case, and should be the case, with the civil leaders also. They must work in the context of their authority to rule over their people as a father and mother rule over their children. This is the way that God has established this commandment, and this is the reason he tells us, honor your father and your mother. This is the context for authority as God has laid it down in his scriptures, and this is the way he has explained it. And so as God's people are standing here before Mount Sinai, they receive this command before his face. But yet, as they receive this commandment, it is given a much greater emphasis in the New Testament. For as the people stand before God, there is distance. God is on the mountain, and the people are below the mountain. But turn with me for a moment to Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, we read that in the New Testament, there is a new order that is taking place. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we read this. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of this world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. In the New Testament, we read that God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on the cross. And by his resurrection, he has raised up his people to be his sons. And as sons of God, saved by Jesus Christ, we must interact with God in the same way that he interacts with his Son. Christ has brought us into the throne room of God. He has adopted us as God's sons. And so as we look at the authority in our lives, we must look at it in the context of God the Father, God the Son. If we are God's sons, he deserves honor. He deserves respect as our Father in heaven. And as we live on this earth, we must know that those in authority over us rule with the authority of God. Turn back to our text in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Whose parents are they? They are the parents in the Lord. God has given parents to children as his representative. God has given parents to children to represent him in their lives. The authority that parents have is authority from God. The authority that civil leaders have is authority from God. The authority that church elders have is authority from God. As we live in this world, God has established his authority through the authorities that we know and those which we live under. This is what God has done for us as we live before his face. And as we live before his face, we must know and realize that how we treat those authorities is how we treat God. I've already spoken of the indicative. Now we move to the imperative. Who are we before God? We are His sons. We live in this world before His face. And as we treat those authorities, so we treat God. You wouldn't think of standing before God in heaven and pulling a face at Him for what He told you. You wouldn't think of looking at God and describing Him to someone else as your old man. You wouldn't think of looking at God and turning away from Him in anger and mumbling something under your breath. You wouldn't think of disagreeing with God and running to your room and slamming the door because you're upset with what He told you. Yet when you look at your parents, how often don't you desire or actually do treat them that way? As you treat your parents is the way that you are treating God. When you mistreat them, when you dishonor them, when you disobey them, that's what you're doing to God. If you won't do it in heaven, don't do it here. That's what this command is teaching us. As children, as we relate to our parents, we are relating to God. God has put them there. They may not be perfect, but God has put them there. God has given them His authority, and we must treat their authority as we treat God. And if we don't respect their authority, we don't respect God. And in the Old Testament, the punishment for that was great. Turn with me for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Verse 18. God tells His people Israel in Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21 this. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard." Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Can you imagine parents taking their rebellious son who rejects their authority and having him stoned? Can you imagine such a thing? But that is what God had commanded. And today, we no longer live under the context of the civil laws of Israel. But the punishment is still no less. There may not be a physical death, but a spiritual death, an eternal death for rejecting God, for rejecting His authority. The penalty is death. Eternal death. God takes the honoring of His authority very, very seriously. God takes the honoring of those whom He has put into our lives very, very seriously. And as we treat those authorities, God is declaring to us that that is how we are treating Him. The elders of the church must be treated with honor and respect. The policeman who pulls you over because you're speeding must be treated with honor and respect. As you treat them, so you are treating God. And God takes that dead serious. But you know, what about those leaders who fail? Must we always submit to authorities just because there are authorities? Are leaders ever wrong? What about this commandment for those parents and those civil leaders and those elders? Are they living and ruling without any accountability? Well, turn back to our text in Ephesians chapter 6. You'll notice that as Paul expands on this commandment in the book of Ephesians, he also has something to say for those in authority. Verse 4 of Ephesians 6. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. You see, this commandment is really twofold. There's a commandment for those under authority to honor authority, but there is also the commandment for those in authority not to abuse their authority. The Westminster Catechism, the larger catechism, question and answer 129, addresses this very concern. What is required of superiors towards their inferiors? It is required of superiors, according to that power they receive from God and that relation wherein they stand, to love, pray for, and bless their inferiors, to instruct them, to counsel them, to admonish them, to protect them, to provide for them all things necessary for soul and body to live, and give them wise and holy counsel, to honor God in their training, and to preserve that authority which God has put upon them. You see, as children, as those who live under authorities, the authority that others have over us is God's authority. But for those who are in authority, you have the job of representing God to those under you. As parents, it is your job to love, pray for, and bless your children. It is your job to instruct and counsel them. It is your job to provide for them. It is your job to honor God through how you treat them and to preserve the authority which God has put upon you. Sometimes that means discipline. God disciplines His sons. Parents discipline their sons. As the children look to their authorities, they're looking to God. And so this command is twofold. It is a command for those under us to honor us as they would honor God. And it is a command for those who rule to rule as God. What a challenge. What an awesome responsibility that is. As children look to their parents, they're to honor them, but parents are to them representing God. God doesn't lose His temper and punish too hard. God doesn't get frustrated and let curse words come out of His mouth. God does not do anything which would cause harm to those under Him. God is consistent in His discipline. God demonstrates the love and the counsel that is necessary for those under His authority. And so as parents, God is calling us to live that way. So it is with civil authorities, So it is with elders in the church. They are called to rule, to represent God. It is their responsibility to love their flock as parents would love their children, and it is the responsibility of those civil leaders to do the same. And whenever we hear of a civil leader or someone in responsibility who fails and takes advantage of his flock or those under him, so often you will find that story on the news. The teacher who abuses one of their students. The policeman who loses his temper and takes it out on one of those underneath him that he is to protect and to discipline. Those kinds of stories, those kinds of breaks in authority make the news. Let that not be with those in Christ's church. May we, as members of Christ's church, uphold God's authority. May we honor those in authority over us. As children, may we honor our parents. As members, may we honor our elders and civil authorities. As parents, let us represent God to those under us. But how? How can we do this when we are such sinners, when we are such failures in our duties? In the Gospel of Mark, as Jesus is coming to the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14, verses 35 through 36, we read this. Going a little farther, Jesus fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus is living out perfect submission to his Father. Jesus is living out perfect obedience to his Father. As he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knows he must go to the cross. He prays that the Father would take the cup from him, but not what I will, Father, but what you will. Jesus demonstrates the perfect living out of God's authority, the perfect living out of submission of Father to Son. Jesus enables us to live out perfect submission to authority. Jesus enables us to rule with authority. The next time that your parents tell you to do something and you don't want to, think about Jesus in that garden. Think about his prayer. The next time that you, as a parent, are ready to discipline, think of where God has put you as a son. He has taken you through Christ into his throne room. You rule on behalf of him. Your authority is his. You represent him. You represent Jesus who has saved you. May your love, may your discipline, may it show the love of Christ that he has shown you. But you know, this commandment is also given with a promise. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. God promises in this command that if his people honor his authority, if they honor those who are over them, if they live out and express godly authority as they rule over those under them, Long life is promised in the land. Long life is given because the society and the people in which live, who live on this earth under God, have order, have authority. God is clearly presented to them as they live their lives. God's submission, Christ's submission, is clearly shown and clearly honored. As God is giving this command, He is promising long life. If this command is not kept, long life is not promised. How often don't you find someone in jail who never learned to honor their parents? How often don't you meet someone whose life is a mess, and if you would go back, something would be connected with their parents? Maybe a parent misabused their authority. Maybe the child never learned to honor. Either way, this commandment is giving with a promise. Honor your father and mother. Honor your authorities. Live up as God's authority, and long life is promised. Eternal life is promised. Amen. Father in heaven, as we look at this commandment this morning, we know, Lord, that we have failed always to honor you as we honor others. We pray, Lord, that as we live, we would honor you as we honor our parents, as we honor those who rule over us. Lord, we pray also that you would strengthen us and that you would help us as those who rule, as parents, as leaders, that we, Lord, would demonstrate who you are as we rule. Help us, Lord, in our church and in our society to honor those authorities, to honor you always in our lives and as we live, to know that we live before your face each and every day and that you must be honored in our lives. Because, Lord, we know that as you enable us to do that, you promise us long life on earth and long life in heaven. We pray, Lord, that by your grace, we may live and do this each and every day. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.